News.
Russia suspends its participation in a key nuclear arms treaty with the U.S., saying no one must be under any illusion that global strategic parity can be destroyed. China pledges to promote dialogue to resolve the Ukraine conflict, urging certain countries to stop adding fuel to the fire of the war. And the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas slams the U.N. Security Council for a watered-down statement that replaced a resolution condemning Israel's settlement plans. Hello, and welcome to World News right here in Tehran. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. First story takes us to Russia this hour, where President Vladimir Putin suspends the participation of his country in the New START treaty with the United States. Well, the treaty controls the two sides' strategic nuclear arms.
They want to deliver us a strategical defeat while crawling into our strategic nuclear objects. Regarding this, I have to say that Russia suspends its participation in New START treaty. Let me repeat, Russia does not abandon the treaty, but suspends its participation. Before resuming the discussion of this treaty, we must first understand what do countries of the North Atlantic Alliance, such as France and Great Britain, aspire, and how will we take their strategic arsenals into account.
Putin made the remarks in an annual State of the Nation address. He said given the current conflict in Ukraine, Russia allowing the U.S. to inspect its facilities is, quote, a theater of the absurd. He also accused the U.S.-led NATO of using the conflict as a pretext to supply Kiev with arms and munitions. The president warned that the more long-range weapons are sent to Ukraine, the longer Russia will push threats away from its borders. Putin noted that Kiev is a launching pad for Western governments' war against Russia, with little regard for Ukrainians.
The responsibility for fueling the Ukrainian conflict, for its escalation, for the number of victims, lies completely with Western elites, and of course with the current Kiev regime, for whom the Ukrainian people are essentially strangers. The current Ukrainian regime is not serving its national interests, but those of third countries.
Putin also slammed Western sanctions on Russia as an economic war. He said they sought to make Russians suffer, but they failed as sanctions are punishing their own countries and economies. He said the Russian economy has grown despite the restrictions and pledged to replace the U.S. dollar and other Western currencies in trade transactions with other countries. And now to China, which warns that the war in Ukraine is getting out of control. Beijing has urged certain countries, without naming any, to stop adding fuel to the fire.
We urge the countries concerned to stop adding fuel to the fire as soon as possible, to stop shifting the blame to China, and to stop making an uproar by shouting, today Ukraine, tomorrow Taiwan. The pressure and attempts to contain China coming from the outside are getting stronger and stronger. They are getting worse and worse, posing a serious threat to China's sovereignty and security.
The Chinese foreign minister was addressing a security conference in Beijing. He said his country is deeply concerned about the situation and trying to find a political solution to the conflict. His comments came after U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken accused China of mulling sending arms to Russia. NATO has also echoed the U.S. concerns, saying China may supply Russia with weapons. Beijing has rejected the claim as false and said it is the U.S. that is endlessly sending arms to Ukraine, not China. Meanwhile, China's senior diplomat Wang Ying has arrived in Moscow for talks that are expected to focus on Ukraine. Earlier, we talked to independent China specialist Andrew Leung to know his take on the U.S. claims about China's military support for Russia.
There is no doubt that China has been pushed by the United States into closer relationship with Russia, because both China and Russia are being targeted by the United States as their arch enemies. And of course, China and Russia, their two economies are extremely complementary. And Russia, as one of the world's largest exporters of energy and agricultural products, whereas China is the world's largest customer. So the two sides are much closer together. And this rhetoric about China supplying arms to Russia is a bit over the top, because and in the Munich Security Conference, Wang Yi, the state counselor, and the top person in charge of foreign policy in China, already said openly that China is going to table a peace plan, perhaps after talking to Putin. So I think that China wants peace. China doesn't want to get involved in worsening the conflict. China doesn't want to supply arms. And in fact, the largest supplier of arms making the conflict worse is not China, but the United States and NATO.
Well, Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen says the island is expanding its military cooperation with the United States as she takes a swipe at what she calls China's expansionism.
Taiwan and the United States continue to bolster military exchanges, and going forward, Taiwan will cooperate even more actively with the U.S. and other democratic partners to confront global challenges such as authoritarian expansionism and climate change.
President Tsai made the comment during a meeting with a visiting delegation of U.S. lawmakers. The head of the delegation said the trip is aimed at bolstering security and economic ties with Taiwan. This comes a week after a senior U.S. State Department official traveled to the island. The visit by U.S. officials to Taipei has increased over the past months, despite repeated warnings from China against growing diplomatic and military nexus between the U.S. and Taiwan. China considers the island as part of its territory and believes the U.S. support emboldens pro-independence forces in Taiwan. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has denounced the U.N. Security Council for its weak position on Israel's expansionist plans in the occupied territories, that after the Security Council failed to pass a resolution which, if approved, would demand the regime put an end to its settlement activities. Now, we've discussed this issue in our news review program.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has denounced the UN Security Council for taking an understated stance on Israel's plan to expand settlements in the occupied territories. The Hamas condemnation comes after the UNSC fell short of passing a resolution which would have demanded the regime put an end to its settlement activities. Hamas says issuing a statement instead of passing a resolution shows the world body has evaded its responsibilities to ensure that international regulations and conventions are not violated. On Monday, the 15-member body issued a statement expressing deep concern and dismay over Israel's announcement of settlement expansion. It said the regime's scheme would jeopardize the viability of a so-called two-state solution. The statement, however, does not have the binding force of a resolution draft submitted earlier to the UNSA. Israel has recently authorized 9 settlement outposts in the occupied West Bank. Meanwhile, Israel is pressing ahead with its arbitrary detention of Palestinians in the occupied territories. Regime forces have arrested nearly 24 people in their fresh raids across the West Bank. 15 Palestinians were detained after the regime's troops raided a refugee camp south of the city of Hebron. Others were taken into custody after the military made incursions into other areas in the West Bank. Israel's deadly crackdown against Palestinians and their unjustified detentions continue unabated. Hundreds of Palestinians have been languishing in Israeli jails for years without charge or trial. In protest of the regime's illegal detention and inhumane treatment, Palestinian inmates have been staging a hunger strike for the 8th day in a row. Yonah Rabai is a human rights activist joining us from Beirut, and we have Saad Nimr, professor of political science at Birzeit University, joining us from occupied Ramallah. Well, I'd like to welcome you both. And, you know, Rabeh, let me first start with you. And let's focus on this, what was supposed to be a resolution at the UN, which was not to be. It came out to be just a statement, basically in opposing what is known to be a violation of international law, and that is the building of settlements. Why is it that the UN did not opt for a UN resolution, which would be obviously more binding than just an opposition?
These facts today raise the role of the United Nations in the issue of the Palestinian cause as a whole and the humanitarian files. The United Nations has never been actually concerned with protecting the rights of the Palestinian people or any vulnerable people in general, despite the legislation, covenants, the international agreements concerned with human rights and regulation and regulating rules of military conflicts. The implementation of which is not mandatory and violating them is not considered a reason for tangible accountability, unlike the consequences of violating economic and security agreements. Firstly, because the member states of the Security Council give priority to political, economic, and security interests over human rights interests. And secondly, because the colonial states have the final say in the Security Council. And here I'm not talking about the veto rights, but about the influence of the colonial states, especially the United States of America, on the decision of other countries which sold their sovereignty in foreign decisions to the USA. Today, as always, Israel finds itself internationally protected, or at least not held accountable for its crimes. The settlement expansion project is not new, but it is implemented just whenever Israel finds the conditions allowing it to do so. And it is very well known that the major Israeli project is the expansion from the borders of the Nile River in Egypt to the borders of the Euphrates River in Iraq. And Israel will never be deterred from implementing that with international statements, neither with international resolutions. Rather, what deters it is force and only force. Just 2 days ago, Israel targeted Farsusa region in Syria with airstrikes, taking advantage of the humanitarian crisis that Syria is facing after the earthquake, and Syria's need to put its capabilities in the service of facing the consequences of the earthquake. So Israel intensified the humanitarian crisis there, and Syria did file a complaint to the United Nations, but Israel would never have committed the crime in the first place. In the first place, had it not been for its prior knowledge that it would not be held accountable internationally. Indeed, Syria did not find any response to its complaint. In conclusion, in general, the failure to respond to the denunciation presented by Hamas is very much expected, especially mm-hmm. that the United States of America classifies Hamas as a terrorist organization, and other countries that comply with the USA, with USA's decisions in general, join it in this classification. So putting a radical end to the settlement crime and all the Israeli aggressions can be achieved either by a major liberation war or by cutting off America's lifeline, so to speak, of Israel.
Okay. Saad Nimr, I'm not too sure how to characterize what has happened, because it's not anything new, and we know that the UN is being used as a political ploy, in a sense, or a tool in order to show maybe that something maybe is being done. But really, facts on the ground speak for themselves, as we have seen throughout the years and decades. So putting the UN aside, even debating about it, I think would be futile. I don't know if you agree or not. In order to figure out a solution to stop, especially this current administration, from pursuing its expansion of settlements, which there were 9 that were announced, they may stop now, but they're still going to move forward with it. Are we looking at just Palestinians that have to create the conditions to stop them from expanding?
Well, in reality, it's quite obvious what happened in the United States and United Nations yesterday. It was coming out with a statement rather than a resolution to condemn Israel for its settlements. It was, on the other hand, I would say that Hamas is not only criticizing the United Nations, but it is in a way, implicitly, they are also criticizing the Palestinian Authority, because in the last few days there was a kind of a marathonic talks between United States, Israel, Emirates, and the Palestinian Authority in order to deter the Emirates from getting to the United Nations Security Council resolution, which condemned Israel and asking Israel to stop all kind of settlements in a resolution by the United Nations. And the Americans, they were, you know, threatening at the beginning to use the veto, and that will put them really in a very embarrassing kind of situation, especially that they are being criticizing also the Israeli administration for its settlements and the expansion of settlements and building new settlements. However, what's going on now, it's yes, we are all the time, as Palestinians, we are alone, apart from all those who are, you know, in support of us around the region and in the world. But generally speaking, in the international community, definitely we are not waiting from the international community to do anything for the Palestinians.
Okay, very well. Thank you very much. Let me thank our guest, Gina Rabaider, activist and political analyst from Beirut. And side number, we do appreciate your comments from Occupy Ramallah. With that, we come to an end for this edition of the News Review. Thanks for tuning in.
And that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The limelight.
According to a new poll published recently, a growing number of Russian consumers are turning to domestic manufacturers to replace foreign products after the exit of Western companies. Experts say Western sanctions against Moscow, instead of damaging the country's economy, have spurred development in Russian domestic industries. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to RIA Novosti, citing a poll by Nielsen IQ Research Company, nearly half of Russians have successfully found domestic substitutes for foreign products made unavailable due to sanctions. According to the findings, over the past year, 47% of Russians have completely switched to locally produced brands or began to buy products of local production more often. About a third of respondents did not change their preferences and continued to buy the same brands they used too before 2022, and 17% switched to new brands, but also of foreign production. Respondents offered several reasons for turning to local brands. Over half of them said they did it to support domestic producers, while 20% pointed to an inability to find foreign analogs at a reasonable price. Another 10% stated that they could not find foreign goods that match the quality and characteristics they value, but see them in Russian products. Also, according to RT, after the start of Moscow's military operation in Ukraine, many major Western brands announced their withdrawal from the Russian market and the suspension of investments and imports. According to economists from Switzerland's University of St. Gallen, more than 1,400 companies have decided to quit Russia over the past year, including electronics manufacturers, retailers, automakers, clothing and food brands, hotels, banks, and restaurant chains. Yet, despite concerns that the trend would damage the Russian economy, it has spurred the development in domestic industries. Analysts say the current situation presents a good opportunity for growth for Russian producers. Earlier this month, Russian President Vladimir Putin said the departure of Western brands has meant our domestic manufacturers received unique opportunities for development, and we must take advantage of them. Putin added that the country's producers have been given a chance to occupy niches which until recently were closed to them due to competition from global players. Industry experts warn that the only concern now is whether domestic manufacturers are ready to meet increased demand and urge companies to invest in expanding their production capabilities. Alexei Popovichev, head of the Rus Brand Association of Manufacturers, told RIA Novosti, if production facilities cannot meet the growing demand, it is necessary to invest in development. Saving money may lead to a desire to simplify the process, and this is fraught with a loss of quality. Meanwhile, Modern Diplomacy wrote, de-dollarization emerged as a priority for Russia in 2014 in response to the imposition of Western sanctions following the annexation of Crimea that limited the ability of state firms and banks to raise financing in Western markets. China also began seeing value in this initiative after the onset of the U.S.-China trade war in 2018 and the use of punitive financial measures by the U.S. regime, wrote authors of a report, Russia and China, Partners in De-Dollarization at the Atlantic Council. Moscow found an early partner in Beijing to support its de-dollarization effort as part of their expanding economic cooperation. Chinese premier signed 38 agreements on a visit to Moscow in 2014, deepening cooperation on energy and establishing a three-year currency swap deal worth 150 billion yuan, about $24.5 billion. This deal was renewed for another 3 years in 2017. Russia and China shifted further away from using the dollar in bilateral trade in 2018, following the U.S. imposition of heavy tariffs on Chinese goods and the onset of the U.S.-China trade war. While Moscow had previously spearheaded the de-dollarization initiative, Beijing quickly modeled Russia's strategy when it perceived its own risk to punitive U.S. financial measures. This made way for a 2019 agreement to replace the dollar with national currencies in international settlements between them. Modern Diplomacy added such financial coordination helped Russia reduce its reliance on the greenback in trade. While 80% of Russia's total exports were denominated in U.S. dollars in 2013, only a little over half of its total exports today are settled in dollars. Most of the decrease was absorbed by its trade with China. Apart from de-dollarization of bilateral trade with China, Russia has begun replacing its dollar reserves with yuans and euros. Between 2013 and 2020, the Russian Central Bank halved its dollar denominated reserves. In 2021, it revealed plans to completely ditch all dollar assets from its sovereign wealth fund and increase holdings in yuan and gold instead, thus acquiring a quarter of the world's yuan reserves.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we will be with you with the explanation of Dua ul-Kumail, the commentary of different parts of this Kumail supplication by the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll be back after you listen to the parts we're going to discuss.
Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rab, Qawwi ala khidmatika jawarihi, washdud ala al-azimati jawanihi. وهب لي الجد في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين.
Brothers and sisters, we were discussing this excerpt of the Divine Kumail supplication. حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين. وَأُسْرِعَ إِلَيْكَ فِي الْبَارِزِينَ So that I move easily towards you in the battlefields of the foremost, hurry to you among the prominent, وَأَشْتَاقَ إِلَىٰ قُرْبِكَ فِي الْمُشْتَاقِينَ So that I desire fervently your proximity, وَأَدْنُوَ مِنْكَ دُنُوَ الْمُخْلِصِينَ So that I move near to you with the nearness of the sincere, وَأَخَافَكَ مَخَافَةَ الْمُوقِنِينَ So that I fear you with the fear of those who have conviction. وَأَجْتَمِعَ فِي جِوَارِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ And gather with the believers in your nearness. In this regard, we said that the best example, the best case, and actually the exemplar of mu'min, the true meaning of mu'min, the case of mu'min, is the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam being one of them. Now, in the previous episode, we mentioned that it is necessary to get to know the Ahlul Bayt because getting to know the family of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being saved from the fire. It is a means for being saved from the fire. Love for the family of Muhammad will ease crossing the Sirat as well as giving immunity from chastisement. When we come to know about the Ahlul Bayt in the Holy Quran, and of course in some traditions, we open the gate to prosperity in this world and the hereafter, and at the same time, we shut the gate of perdition.
My Lord, strength
strengthen my limbs for your service and sustain the strength of my hands to preserve in your service and bestow upon me the eagerness to fear you and constantly serve you so that I may lead myself towards you in the field with the vanguards who are in the fore rank and be swift towards you amongst those who hasten towards you and urge eagerly to be near you and draw myself towards you like those who sincerely draw themselves towards you and to fear you like the fear of those who believe firmly in you and that I may join the congregation of the faithful congregated near you.
Thank you, Allah,
now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, feeling the peace all around, seeing things we can never imagine, hearing the sound of rivers flow, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
Almighty Allah recommends His servants to resort to His covenant, which necessitates getting to know Hablullah. The Almighty Allah says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast by the covenant of Allah altogether and be not disunited. Imam Baqir alayhi salam has said about the meaning of this covenant with Allah. He says, آل محمد صلوات الله عليهم هم حبل الله المتين الذي أمر بالاعتصام بهم. You want to know the meaning of Hablullah in the verse of the Holy Quran? The household of Muhammad is the covenant of Allah, as recommended by Allah. The Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam, who are the oceans of knowledge and endowed with virtues, had been chosen by Allah to give the good news of paradise to the believers and warn the unbelievers of the chastisement that awaits them in the fire of hell. So, getting to know Allah and the judgment day, understanding the spiritual concepts and true meanings of the Holy Quran, having an understanding of the traditions set by the Holy Prophet, attaining virtues, happiness in this world and hereafter, even being immune from the vices, having the power to resist satanic temptations and experiencing piety, they all can be made possible only through getting to know the Ahlul Bayt, only through following their teachings, following their orders. This is what Imam Ali alayhi salam asks. He is actually teaching us to ask from the Almighty Allah. حَتَّى أَسْرَحَ إِلَيْكَ فِي مَيَادِينِ السَّابِقِينَ, so that I move easily to you in the battlefields of the foremost. And at the end, وَأَجْتَمِعَ فِي جِوَارِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He is teaching us to ask from the Almighty Allah to gather with the believers in the nearness of the Almighty Allah. This is how Imam Ali alayhi salam, at the same of supplicating to Allah, is teaching us how to supplicate. The Ahlul Bayt, as inferred from the Holy Quran and authentic narrations, are the source of all material and spiritual blessings. Without knowing and following them, a man is deprived of all the blessings. So, this is the necessity, and of course at the same time, the importance of getting to know the Ahlul Bayt. Because by following them, it is the chance to follow the Almighty Allah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The latest studies show that half of the people living in the United Kingdom are worried about the sudden increase in the cost of living on a daily basis and cannot afford their living expenses. The unprecedented jump in the inflation rate and the unbridled increase in the cost of living has put the spotlight on Britain's economy. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. British newsletter The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. According to new statistics, an ever-increasing number of households in Britain, including teachers, pensioners and employees of the National Health Service, are turning to food banks for assistance as a result of the cost of living issue and the rising rate of inflation. The research conducted by the Independent Food Aid Network found that almost 90% of food banks surveyed reported increased demand in December of 2022 and January of 2023 compared to a year earlier. According to the new study, about half of the 85 organisations running 154 food banks in the United Kingdom, which responded to the survey, admitted that if demand increased further, they would either have to cut support or turn households away. The Trussell Trust, which with more than 1,300 food banks is the UK's biggest provider, expects this winter will have been its busiest ever, warning back in November that food banks were at breaking point. Between April and September alone, it distributed 1.3 million emergency food parcels, a third more than the same period in 2021, and over 50% more than pre-pandemic levels. The Independent Food Aid Network coordinator Sabine Goodwin, commenting on the study's results, said, "It's very clear that people have been trying to muddle through the winter on credit and are now building up debts that will push people over the edge." Sabine Goodwin accused the government of unsustainable and unethical reliance on charitable food aid, warning that without a change of approach, there will be nowhere for people to turn to. Food inflation is at 16.7%, and the cost of gas is nearly 130% higher than a year ago in the United Kingdom. The Office for Budget Responsibility, the OBR, forecast in November that households' disposable income would fall by 4.3% in 2022-2023, the largest drop since comparable records began in 1956. The independent Food Aid Network research found that food banks are struggling to meet record demand from people who are in work, including NHS staff and teachers. More than 80% reported supporting a significant number of people for the first time, while many said demand was growing among pensioners and families with newborn babies. Cost of living increase were given as the biggest problem, followed by inadequate wages and waiting times for initial universal credit payments. Benefit restrictions and deductions were cited by one-third of independent food banks as a motivating factor. Notably, the workers who are going out on strike make up a large portion of those who have turned to food banks, as the most extensive public sector strikes in decades have been brought on by a real earnings decline and rising inflation rate. The raging cost of living crisis in Britain began in 2021, when prices for many basic items rose faster than household incomes, causing real incomes to plummet. Apart from soaring inflation, the COVID-19 pandemic and Western sanctions imposed on Russia over the conflict in Ukraine are among the major factors driving the crisis. Reuters news agency has also covered the story and tells us more. A leading business company has revealed that more than 70% of British households fear they will be severely hit by the cost of living crisis in the first part of 2023, up from 54% at the end of last year. Survey data from market researcher Nielsen IQ showed recently that rising inflation rate and deteriorating economic situation have weighed more pressure on Britons during the first months of 2023, disappointing the majority of households about the country's economic future. Market researcher Nielsen IQ reported that UK grocery sales on a value basis rose by 7.6% in the first 4 weeks of 2023, due to an increase in food price inflation to 13.8%. However, volume sales fell by 6.9%, reflecting the unprecedented deepening of the cost of living crisis. Mike Watkins, Nielsen IQ's head of retail and business insights, said, "We expect a challenging first quarter for the grocery industry, with inflation very much top of mind for shoppers." He added, "As a result, shoppers will continue to trade down to cheaper brands or private label products." The damning report came on the heels of another survey, which revealed that one in five British adults turned to eating food past its use-by date or consuming smaller portions this winter. According to published figures by the Office for National Statistics, 18% of British adults either used out-of-date food due to the rising cost of groceries. The rates were even higher among those with depression, diabetes, or dependent children. After a tough 2022, British consumers have been grappling with an even tighter squeeze on their finances this year, with the inflation rate running at 10.5% and a looming recession. The skyrocketing prices caused by surging inflation have prompted many labour forces across the country to stage strikes and protests to air their concerns about economic challenges in the face of an intensified cost of living crisis. The Wales Online website has also covered this story. A leading youth charity has revealed nearly half of the young population of Britain fear they will never earn enough money to support a family as the cost of living crisis deepens across Britain. Releasing its 2023 Youth Index recently, the Prince's Trust, a youth charity that has carried out a survey among 16 to 25-year-olds during a 14-year period, revealed that 45% of these youngsters in the United Kingdom have no hope of establishing a new family due to the soaring cost of commodities and services. The Prince's Trust said the age group's happiness and confidence is at its lowest level since it started the research in 2008, and they are most unhappy about their money and mental health. The report revealed that 57% of young people said the cost of living crisis is the biggest worry for their future, while 34% said the coming recession is their greatest concern. About 46% said they felt hopeless about the future because of economic uncertainty. The data, which is from an online YouGov opinion poll of more than 2,000 young people in Britain, showed that 39% of the age group 16 to 25 from less affluent backgrounds agreed that thinking about money depresses or stresses them. The Prince's Trust UK chief executive Jonathan Townsend said, having already lived through one of the most turbulent times to be young, this year's Prince's Trust NatWest Youth Index is a warning sign that post-pandemic young people's well-being has not recovered. Most concerningly, the report also suggests that these challenges are hitting young people from the most disadvantaged backgrounds the hardest, with those who received free school meals or who are unemployed reporting consistently worse well-being in all aspects of their lives. According to the Prince's Trust report, around 64% of respondents said their biggest goal in life is achieving financial security. The study also revealed that around 70% believe that having a job that gives them financial stability is good for their mental health, while 59% say being employed at all was good for their mental well-being.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
الله يا الله سبحان الله الله يا الله والحمد لله الله ولا إله
Baytullah al-Haram, the house of Allah in Mecca, is the first house erected for people. No personality, no regime, and no tribe can claim to have right of way in it. The Bedouin, the desert dwellers, homeless people and devotees, praying in seclusion at the Kaaba. City of dwellers and statesmen are equal in it. This holy place have been set up for people, for movement of the people, for popular interests. What profit is superior to the fact that the hands of the world oppressors are curtailed from the oppressed countries and the people of those countries exploit the enormous resources of their own countries? A house that has been established for uprising should be devoted to gathering to seek this end and secure the interests of people in this holy place.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. This is Ali, and we are trying to present some of the sayings of the late Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. and the victory of the Islamic Revolution. Imam Khomeini, in saying about the victory of the Islamic Revolution, says, "If a nation rises, maintaining the power of faith, no power can stand against it." He wants to tell us that the power of faith has a key role in the victory of the Islamic Revolution. Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only superpower in the existence is something that he believed in by the bottom of his heart. To attribute everything, every goodness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to attribute every deficiency, every problem to ourselves, is the outcome of this ideology. Under the shadow of the belief that the main goal should be gained and eternal happiness will be the outcome, and to reach to the eternal paradise, people try to communicate with those who can help them more in this way. Such people must be governed by the correct religion so that they can unite under the unity of the true religion. Islam tries to bring all people together based on this axis. So in Islamic teachings, we can see and we can sense this kind of belief that whatever is good comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. And if we step forward for the sake of Him, He will compensate for us. And there is no power, and no power can stand in front of Allah's power, and no power can stand in front of the power of belief. And if a nation, whether being few in number or many, they will be victorious, and no power can stand in front of them. It's not the matter of being Iranian or not Iranian. In every part of the world, if you step forward, Allah will help you and will compensate for you. And tansurullah yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. This is the verse of Quran. If you help Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will help you. So, dear brothers and sisters, we have been saying that all of these sayings of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah with regard to the victory of the Islamic Revolution rounds around this main and firm belief that every power, that every good thing comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we got victorious, this was due to a belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our belief in Islam and our desire to implement Islamic rulings. Thank you very much for your listening and staying tuned. Till our next session, I'll live in Allah's protection.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.